I was doing a gig for Tyre Power on the weekend. I do all the big ones. Tyre Power. They're a tyre retailer.
First time you've done it?
Second time. Yeah. It got me back again. And the guy said, hope you got new jokes. I'm like, oh. No, I did some new jokes. That was good. And they're great. And the dealer of the year from last year was Juan Thaggy. Juan Thaggy's in Gippsland.
I think we all know that.
Yeah, Juan Thaggy, dealer of the year. You would have heard about it. Yep. Chris from Juan Thaggy. And as I said to him, on the night, you've only got about an hour left to your reign ends, mate. So, you know, laugh it up while you can. Dealer of the year. And then Hastings won dealer of the year.
Oh.
Yeah.
Nice.
They deserve it.
Yeah. They're good at Hastings.
They do a great operation down there in Hastings. And it's not just Victoria. This was South Australia, Victoria, Northern Territory.
Oh, that's a big deal.
So it's a big deal. It's everywhere. Tasmania, yep. Anyway, but anyhow, I said, how's Juan Thaggy going? Because we've done Juan Thaggy.
We've
done a gig at the Miners Club. Remember the Miners Club? It's like an old RSL, and you walk in and the entrance is like a mine, and there's like wheelbarrows and shovels and stuff.
Yes.
And I always make the joke on stage, just as well this place wasn't set up by gynecologists or proctologists. But yeah, different entrance then. Anyway, now, yeah, because I know that area because my parents have a beach house at Cape Patterson, which is the lovely,
beautiful
being a surfer, would know.
Is that down near the desal plant?
Yes.
A bit further on.
On the actual corner of Western Port Bay and Bass Strait.
Yep.
People that are trying to picture it, if you will.
Oh, beautiful.
Anyway, I said, how's Juan Thaggy going? And Juan Thaggy's always had a reputation. I don't know. It's a nice place, but certain elements. And he goes, oh, hey, get this. I was in the workshop the other day changing a tyre, and this bloke walks up and goes, g'day, mate. I'm new to town. Now, what do you reckon he said next? What would he ask? I'm new to town.
I'm new to town. Where can I sleep? Where's a good counter meal?
Exactly. That's what you'd think, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
You'd ask the guy who obviously lives there. He works in the tyre place.
Yep.
G'day, mate. Where's a good... He goes, this is so one thing. The guy goes, g'day, mate. I'm new to town. Where can I buy some chuff around here? It's like, bang. I work in the tyre place, mate. I don't know where you get chuff from. Go to O'Neill's parents' house. Anyway, Cape Patterson. There you go.
I've rarely been approached on the street to ever buy anything.
Really, to be asked to where to get something?
You know, like you see in the movies where they go, what do you want? What do you want?
Oh, yeah, like dodgy.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't look very dodgy, though. I think they tend to target people that look... If you were wearing a tracksuit...
Like, say, if we're walking down the street, you and I together, who would get approached, you or me?
Probably me.
You reckon you look dodgy?
No, I don't look dodgy, but I do occasionally look homeless, so...
You said that at lunch today.
I know.
You look homeless. You're not okay. You've had a haircut. You look good.
Yeah, but sometimes I'm unshaven.
But you don't look any...
My dad
would say that the time between someone who is okay and someone who's living on the streets is 3 days.
That's so true.
If you don't wash, shower, do all the good bits,
shave
for
men,
3 days, then you look like you live on the streets.
That's so
true.
A bit
unfair. I would say more like a week.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, God. Hear that? The bikies have turned up.
I think they're
very,
right.
Very noisy.
One thaggy.
But I had someone approach me in the city the other day and said, they were European, and they said, where can we get good food? And I said, oh, they're this place. And they said, but what about Australian food? I said, there's this Italian place, there's these Asian places. And they said, what about Australian food? I'm like, oh, I don't know.
What's the catch line in that new movie, The Irishman? I fix houses and I clean up.
Oh.
Which means, what does that mean? I fix houses and I clean up.
Well, the cleaner in the mafia movies is the guy who sorts out all the mess, isn't it?
I think it means that you go...
The Harvey Keitel.
You do the job.
Yeah.
You kill someone.
Mm-hmm.
And you clean up all the evidence.
Oh.
As opposed to going in and going bang, bang.
And then just leaving.
And just leaving. Oh, what have you left?
Cole Wayne, that's his job.
Because that's a special thing, isn't it? That's a special company you go to clean up.
They have special. They've written books and stuff, and there's been shows about them. The forensic cleaners.
Yeah, so they clean up after everyone's been there.
That's not a pleasant job. That's not a good job.
I assume
the detectives come in, they take all the evidence they need, and they call them up. They turn up in their white van, and they have to clean up the area.
How was work today, Dale? Oh, geez.
Oh, yeah, two splattered brains. Some bone fragments.
Splatter's hard to get out, but I find that this is a good product.
Yeah. But Ajax. Oh, there's the music.
Hello and welcome to Somehow Related. And now please welcome your hosts, Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Oh, yes, and welcome to the podcast.
Just somehow related.
Well, we get two topics. They don't seem to be related, but it turns out they are. And Sam, our electronic helper.
I think she would like to be referred to as electronic.
Okay. What is she? Computer generated? No, she's a real person.
So
she's a real life boy.
We shouldn't talk about it because to us she's real.
She's real.
And we shouldn't because she's listening now.
Mm. Hello, Sam.
Hello, Glenn. Hello, Dave. I've got those topics ready.
Oh, great.
Yeah, that's very kind.
Yeah, lovely.
Yeah, lovely.
Well, what are our topics, Sam?
Rabbis and speed dating.
Rabbis and speed dating.
You ever done speed dating?
No.
I did heroin dating once. It was terrible. Had all my stuff stolen. I've actually emceed a speed dating
night. Hang on. That's a good joke. You did heroin speed dating. Is that right?
Yes.
And you went out with someone on heroin and they came around and stole all your stuff. I'm just explaining the joke for me.
No. So speed is a drug.
Speed's a drug. Right.
I didn't do speed dating. I did heroin dating. I suppose you could say I did marijuana dating. Everyone was
But
really
I like
hungry.
The idea that you went out with someone on heroin and you came home and they'd stole all your stuff.
Stole all your stuff.
Isn't it funny how you can reinterpret a joke to fit your own model of what it meant?
Yeah, or probably make it funnier maybe. No, I hosted a speed dating for a friend once. Oh. One of the mums from Mother's Group was, who's actually Jewish? There's a connection. Anyway, she's got me to come along and it's quite intense. So what happens
is
that...
What's the Jewish?
The
speed dating, sorry, right, yep.
Well, they have Jewish speed dating nights, but these people, they weren't Jewish. There might have been some Jewish people there, but it was certainly a mixture of people. And they just get like... And it's always hard to get the men. That's the hard... To get men to turn.
Oh, hang on, I've got to put the Jewish to the side for
well,
the
that's
moment.
A side. That's that was like, just okay. That's irrelevant.
You've confused me.
Yeah, the woman who organised it
she's
was Jewish,
but she's over there.
Yeah, but
she's over there.
The event wasn't Jewish.
It wasn't Jewish. Okay, I'm clear now because I was thinking orthodontic.
No, orthodox.
Jews turning up to a speed dating, which I don't think is what we're.
She's doing. Not orthodox. She's progressive. She'd call her a progressive. Right. Jew.
Progressive. Okay.
Anyway, so whatever. I don't know what she was. She was doing it for charity. Hmm. She needed a celebrity in inverted commas to host the night. And so I went along and there were like, say, 20 women and 20 men all sort of standing in different areas. Mm. And then I had to ring a bell and they all had to sit down.
Mm.
And I said onto the microphone, okay, you've got 3 minutes with this person. I think they get a minute and a half each or 2 minutes to talk and then the other person talks and they just chat and stuff. And then I ring a bell and they all move. I think the men move seats to the next person.
It's like a square dance.
Yeah, like a square dance.
Bada 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 bum bada. Change partner.
And then at the end, what happens is you write down on a bit of paper, you know, who you liked. And if you write down, if your match matches with that, they like you.
I like you and you like
them.
Are you allowed to like more than one?
Yeah.
So you could like everyone.
Oh, you see some blokes write down everyone.
And then they're guaranteed a match. That's the way to scam it.
Some men write down everyone. Typical men.
It should be limited to one or two.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But as we know, women are more choosy. Right. So women would write down two maybe. And a very good compliment. Someone wrote down my name.
I wonder if it's like when you get into an Uber? When you're
ratings.
Ready, yeah, but do you tell them you're going to give them five?
No, I assume that, look, there are no actual, I think some people would do that.
But I mean, if you were doing it and you were the girl and she then says to you, you know what, I'm giving you a tick, I reckon you're great. Or did she not say anything?
No, they generally, they don't say anything.
Don't say anything because you might then go, I'm going to pick you. And then they go, oh, that's nice. And you go, oh, he didn't pick me.
Yeah, it's rude. And so,
can still happen because if I pick someone and then I find out that she didn't pick me.
Mm.
Then I'm going to be disappointed.
One of my friends organises speed dating nights and said, "The older you get, the looser they get." She reckons in terms of drinking and behaviour.
Oh,
and
dear. Yeah.
Can you imagine? Because she does different age groups too.
Yeah, yeah.
Over 40s, over 30 to 40, 20 to 30.
Mm.
So I could just imagine. But imagine that, and she said it's really hard when some people say, you know, I love Janelle or whatever, and Janelle, nah. And then they email her and say, well, I can't believe Janelle didn't pick me. Well, can you contact her? And
yeah, because it would get tricky.
We had a bit of magic going on. Oh, Janelle didn't
like you. Because that's how, to me, it doesn't quite work. That's where the organics work. Because I reckon it should be at the time. Do you want to both press the buzzer? Because they do that. If you've seen that show on TV called, on Channel 7, it used to be called Blind Date.
Ah.
Remember?
And Greg Evans.
No.
Not Perfect Match.
It was a modern version of that where it was a blind date and they filmed it. It was one of those restaurants where they had cameras everywhere. And you turn up and have a drink, and then the girl would turn up, and then they have two or three people in the restaurant, and then you'd follow them across the night.
Mm.
And then they go out, and then they step out the booth out the back, and they go, "Are you going to see each other again?" And they go, "Well, I think we will." Or, yeah, you right. know what, I liked you, but no, you're gone. So it's clean cut, Ben.
Mm.
As opposed to, I come along, I met one who I liked, and she didn't like me. I'm going home. A friend of mine was going to one, and on the way in, he saw a girl who he didn't know was actually walking there. He said, "You want to? I don't really want to go. If I was going to go, I'd pick you. Let's go out and have a drink." And he's still with her to this day.
Wow, really?
Yep.
He subverted the dating show.
Yeah, I reckon if, let's just say, right, all the guys are standing over here, all the girls standing over there. I reckon just from looking across the room and getting a vibe, you'd probably have who you're going to want.
Well, that's true. There's a physical thing, isn't
it? It would be physical plus it's a vibe thing. Don't you reckon?
Yeah, it is a vibe thing.
I mean, and you'd only have to, so because it's all sort of forced, I don't reckon you're ever going to have a good outcome when it's forced, because you can't be your natural self. You can't bop and weave, you know, because you've got to tag and release a bit with all this stuff. It's all in my book, How to Date. How to Date, yeah. I've got
I think it's called out. Dating in the 80s by Glenn Robbins. You think back to how you met. I met one of my girlfriends. How funny is this? In the 80s. This seems a very 80s way to meet someone. We were living in a shared house. I didn't know her at this stage, right? We were living in a shared house, me and three guys and a girl, all from high school. So it was mid-80s, and credit cards came out, right? Now, most of us were unemployed or students. There was one guy called Noddy who worked in a hospital, and he got a credit card.
Noddy. Yeah. That's cool.
Noddy. And it was a Visa card, which we started calling the pizza card, because, and he said, he got his credit card, and he got it in the mail, and said, "All right, if you guys can find a restaurant that takes this card, I will shout you dinner." Because not many restaurants.
Yeah, well,
so
cash,
I got out the Yellow Pages and was ringing around.
Yeah.
And the only one I could find was a joint called Island Trader in Warragul Road.
Why did you remember that?
Yeah, I remember because it was turned into Smorgies. Because you remember there was a spate of all-you-can-eat restaurants in the 80s. It was Sizzler. Yeah. Sizzlers are still open in Queensland. There's Smorgies.
You know all the names.
And Island Trader was...
Island Trader had flames out the front?
Yes. Yes, and had a Hawaiian theme. It had a volcano.
Where was it? Because I reckon we filmed Kath and Kim there.
Oh, I reckon you did film. Several of them.
Oh, okay. We definitely did a bit of Kath and Kim there.
Yeah. You did. I'm sure you did.
We did New Year's Eve there one time. Yep.
Oh, wow. There was one in Walgreen Road, Burwood Highway.
Yeah, that was the one.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So this was Walgreen Road. Course, so we drive out there, my Tirana, and we go... All right, we're going to. And Noddy's like, "I don't need too much. Oh, God." You know, by that time, he's panicking that we're going to make those credit cards. Anyway, the waitress meets us and she's gorgeous. She's wearing, how's this? She's wearing a grass skirt and a bikini top. That's her outfit.
She's very 1980s.
And but she's like a uni student, you know, and we're all sort of uni students too.
This is a penthouse letter.
Anyway, I start talking to her because I'd seen her at bands and stuff. And I said, I know you, and I've seen, and we knew mutual sort of people through friends of friends and stuff. Yeah. And then, anyway, she served us, and it was a great dinner, a great smorgasbord. They had a self serve machine. Anyway, at the end of the night, I said, "How are you getting home?" And she said, "I'm getting the bus." I said, "No, I'll give you a lift to my Tirana."
Oh.
And we went out for a few years.
That's so romantic. Did she take the outfit off or did she wear it home?
That's a good question, actually.
She wouldn't.
I reckon she left it at the restaurant.
She probably would have put the grass skirt out the back.
Yeah.
Probably had the bikinis on and put her outfit over the top.
Came out in jeans and a windshield of smoking. Looked totally different. All right, give us a lift. That's how you meet someone, isn't it?
That's old school. That's right.
That's old school.
You just go for the, "Didn't I see you somewhere?" And she just couldn't handle herself in front of your rugged good looks.
That's right.
And your ability.
And my Tirana.
Your Tirana.
My orange Tirana.
Did you chat her in front of the soft serve or the gravy boat?
Well, it's very important to get her alone, not in front of your mates, because they're all dickheads. They would try to sabotage, wouldn't they?
I reckon you'd be a good talker. I reckon the ladies would have loved you.
Yeah, back in the day.
Back in the day. I look forward to your book.
No, I couldn't write that book. My wife would burn it. She'd burn every copy.
What else?
Anyway, how to meet people about speed dating. Okay, well,
where else can you see nowadays? It's all internet, isn't it?
It is.
Which I think is frightening because there's what is there?
Now it's not embarrassing though. So 10 years ago, people would make stuff up. They met on RSVP, but they'd say we met at work.
Right.
You know, I remember meeting a couple, a friend of friends, and I said, "Oh, where did you guys meet?" They said that we met at work, and then later my friend said they met on the internet, but they're too embarrassed to say. Now that's just like. One of my brother's in-laws' kids, they're all 18, 19, 20, out in the suburbs, met his girlfriend on Tinder, and they've been together for a few years, and they're a lovely young couple.
So, yeah, whatever works for her, I guess.
Yeah.
But there is also the
Mad Rooters?
Yeah.
Yeah,
You've been Mad Rooter.
Someone's telling me the other day how much they loved that bit of my story at the Swan Hill Jockey Club when a guy came up and went, "You're a Mad Rooter, are you, mate? You're a Mad Rooter?" I said, I'm actually sort of married. Yeah, Mad Rooter. But they're right. You hear stories about Tinder and stuff of Mad Rooting going on.
Yeah, like it's in just one time, like one night stand, in you go, off you go.
Yeah.
And which I just would find, it's weird, just coming knocking on the door, come on in.
It's unusual, but it must happen. I know it happens. Well, I've heard.
I've heard it's happened.
I've heard.
Yeah.
I've heard. You know what, though? You've got I know a dad at school who's separated or whatever, and he's been on Tinder, but he's good looking. And so you could see how it could happen with good looking people.
Well, because they was it swipe right or swipe left or something?
Yeah, so girls would see him. He's got a good job, very attractive looking, goes to the gym every day.
Yeah.
So of course they're going to go, oh, he's a good looking bloke, look at him.
Yeah, and then you meet him though, and often
he's quite funny and stuff. So why not? You know, I expect he'd do well in the short term thing.
It's a level of confidence that people have and people don't have.
It's true.
Some people just have a confidence about them. They just close the deal very easily. And you go, how did you do that? Like a magical, you know.
Or they're very driven.
Yeah,
they're very driven. So I remember when we used to go out to bands and I was never that. But there was one guy in the friend of a friend who was so driven to pick someone up. He always would.
Yeah.
But he absolutely focused on that the whole night.
Yeah.
He would ignore the band, the food, the music, whatever was going on, just to concentrate on picking up a woman. Because it's like a sociopath.
Yes. Rather than it being an organic process where you happen to meet someone and, you know.
Also, you're out for fun. What do you, just enjoy the night, mate.
And one guy said to me, before I go out, I've got to make sure I don't have a man does by himself, because I find it takes the edge off for me.
That's in Something About Mary, you know.
Really?
That's what he does before the date. He does that, and then stuff goes in his hair, remember? Hangs off his ear, and she thinks it's hair gel and puts it in her hair. That's why it sticks up. That's a famous scene.
He was doing that before he...
Yes, before he went out on a date, because someone gave him Ben Stiller advice in the movie. You know, you've got to relieve yourself, and then... I always think of the sign in the Footscray gym I used to go that says no lifting weights in your jeans, because the guy said, yeah, Saturday night all these guys would turn up at like 9 o'clock and lift weights in their jeans to go to nightclubs. Like, come on.
Oh, I get it.
Come on, to make them look ripped, you know.
Yeah, because often when you do video clips, and I've done a few video clips with, I won't say which groups, but which bands, but they will, if you go into the back room, they'll have weights and then they'll be pumping.
Oh, really? To look good.
Just to look good, which never occurred to me. Sometimes, yeah.
You did that on Boytown, didn't you? You're back there.
I'm just trying to think if anyone did do that. But it's not uncommon for the in the back room. Mm. I mean, obviously, but it's like when you got a shirt on, so you just get that big muscly thing going on.
Yeah. It looks good.
All
right, well, let's move on to rabbis.
Rabbis.
My brother worked in a Jewish school for a long time. He's gone. How funny is this? Mark, my middle child brother. I don't think you've met Mark. He's the funny one of the family, as my mother will tell you. He's the really funny one. He's quite funny, Mark.
I've met him.
No, you've met Trev. And you've met Glenn, my twin, but you haven't met... Anyway, Mark...
I haven't met your twin.
I met my twin.
No.
Oh, well, he's...
I still find it hard to believe. I think he's made up.
No, he's real. Some people out there would have met him. But Glenn. But Mark worked at a Jewish school for 15 years. So he was a telecom technician, and then he worked at a Jewish school as a technician, doing AV and stuff.
Yeah.
And now he's working at a Steiner school, which is
very progressive.
A massive jump for him. He said he went to a class the other day. And so you can imagine a Jewish school is quite regimented.
Yeah.
They've got a lot of equipment, a lot of money.
A lot of security.
I've been to his school, his old school, and there's security guards. Well, they're a target
for some people.
Because it's, you know, if you're a terrorist and you want to attack the Jewish community,
it's not hard.
it's either the synagogue or the school, isn't it? Because it's their community. And overseas schools have been attacked, so they've got to have security. But so you can imagine that school was, and they're right into technology too in that kind of school. But he goes out to a Steiner school now, where you don't.
It's the opposite.
Yeah, you only have computers in year 12, I think. They don't have computers.
That's good.
He went to a science class the other day, and the guy goes, "We've just been to the zoo. Can you take photos off my phone and put it on the computer?" Mark's like, "Yeah." He's like, "Wow, that's amazing."
I gather around everybody. Look at this dude.
And he goes, "Do you want to?" Mark goes, "I'll do it." No, he goes, "No, hang on, we're going to sing a song first." So he pulls out a guitar and sings a song with the kids. How nice is that? "You are my child." So long. Anyway, I met the rabbi.
But if the kids had the choice between getting on the old internet and listening to the song, they'd be going for the internet.
"You are my sunshine."
Yeah, get
over
it. Yeah, get through it. Get through it.
"Sunshine, you make me happy." Anyway, the last rabbi I met was when I went to his Jewish school. And he was a rabbi who kept telling me that Mark was a genius. "Your brother is a genius. But he's a genius."
But your family are. You are a smart family.
Yeah, not really. But anyway, this rabbi was an expert in humor, he was telling me. And he goes around and gives talks on humor. Yeah.
Well, when you look at some of the great stand-ups, Jewish.
A lot of Jewish people in stand-up.
Well, Seinfeld. Oh, God, that's the only one I can think of right now.
Brothers. Adam Sandler. Larry David.
Larry David, yes.
Mark's Brothers.
Not Laurel.
Female.
What's her name? Jane Rivers? Would she be
Jane
Jewish?
Rivers Jewish. Yeah, I'm sure she's Jewish. Yeah, she was Jewish. I interviewed her once. She turned up to Nova Studios in full makeup at like 8 o'clock in the morning. She was funny.
She would always bring it. Yeah, when the red light went on, she'd be there for
you. Sarah Silverman.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
John Safran's Jewish.
John Safran. Big fan of the Safran, man.
Safran. Yeah. I went around to his house once for... I used to do radio with him years ago, and we went around for Friday, which is a special... It's called Friday... I can't remember what it's called. The Friday... thing that Jewish people celebrate.
Oh, where you...
Well, yeah. Sam, what's the Friday?
Is it the one where they can't drive a car?
That's the Sabbath. That's Saturday. But Friday is a day of some sort of... Friday is some sort of celebration, whereas Saturday is their Sabbath.
Pancake Friday?
It is like...
Pancake Tuesday. Guy Fawkes. No. Melbourne Cup.
Sam, what...
Grand Final.
What's it called, the Friday Jewish dinner?
I think you're thinking of Shabbat.
Shabbat, that's it.
Oh, I never would have got that.
Shabbat, yeah.
Shabbat. You have a Shabbat every Friday and you get together.
Yeah, it's like a family thing and his mum cooked.
What a great thing that is.
It is good. His mum cooked very nice schnitzel.
Oh, that's their specialty.
Yeah. Ooh, beautiful.
Schnitzel. Oh, that's as we said,
death row meal.
Yeah.
Well, there used to be a good Jewish cafe in St Kilda called Cafe Sherazade, and... it was really nice schnitzel, old school schnitzel. But I remember being there one night, and the waitresses tended to be older Jewish women, and they didn't suffer fools. They would throw the cutlery like at you, and then she threw it to this young woman. The young woman looked like this. This young woman was obviously on a date, and the waitress said, "This is not the Hilton, love."
Bang, cop that.
Yeah. This is not the Hilton.
We had a Jewish restaurant where we used to get schnitzel takeaway, and I didn't feel like I was one of them.
No, you're not.
But not that they did anything.
No.
But I didn't feel unwelcome.
No, they're very welcome people.
Lovely. But I did feel a difference.
Well, the thing was, what happened was that, this is John Safran telling me this, they were excluded from law and that's why they became very good in commerce, because in the whatever turn of the century or whenever it was, they were excluded from practicing law and medicine and stuff like that. So they specialised in commerce, he said.
Because I know that they tried to get into a Melbourne golf course and they couldn't get into any of them. So they just went, okay, we'll build our own.
Yeah, see?
See? Smart. And they built a fantastic golf course where they just go, we'll do it our way.
Yeah.
You can stick yours up your clacker.
Up your ass. Fair enough, too. I always think of the rabbi, the vodka ad, you know, the Woody Allen routine? Oh, it's a great routine. So Woody Allen... He's been offered I've been offered this vodka ad in the Bahamas, right? And it's so much money, but I'm torn. I don't want to do ads and advertise vodka. And I went to my rabbi for advice. My rabbi said, do not do it, Woody. It's a compromise. You're a comedian. This is selling out. And I'm like, sure enough, rabbi, no problem. I'm not going to do it. He goes, 2 months later, I turn on my TV. There's the rabbi doing the vodka ad.
Well, that's one. Did we say Woody Allen?
Woody Allen's Jewish.
He's the number one. Circumcision.
He's been. The thing is, can you enjoy Woody Allen films now after all the stuff has come out about him?
About him?
He's never been charged. Ming. Never been charged though.
Stepdaughter.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Well, can you still? Can you watch? What's his name? Louis C.K.
Well, I used to love Louis C.K.
You can't watch him anymore.
Well, I haven't sought him out.
I don't know whether you can. It's been taken off, hasn't it?
Yeah, probably. I mean, he's still tours.
I found that out a couple of years before it came out because you know the circles that I mix in.
Oh, about Louis C.K.
Yeah. And if you're listening, Louis, all the best. I found it hard after that, straight away.
Stop doing it in doorways and blocking the doorway. God, I've been doing that for years. I hope it doesn't come out. Often in the studio, you can't get past me because I'm in the doorway. It's awful.
Again.
Put it away.
We all know, Dave. Yes.
You're famous for it.
Yeah. Rabbis. Circumcision.
Oh, yeah. I've been done. Yeah.
So,
I've got a circumcision.
What do they call it? They call it? A bris. A moil or something?
Yeah, all those words are.
Bris is right, and it's a moil. Just did that Saturday Night Live sketch. Which is great, where they're going, the Cadillac. The suspension on the new Cadillac is so good, we can perform a circumcision in the back seat.
Really?
And you just hear, the rabbi doing the thing, and you hear, wah, wah, a little bit of a cry. No problem at all. That's Cadillac.
Oh, well, because we've all been done, so our generation got done.
I know, but is it beyond crossover?
Hardly anyone gets done. Certain religious groups still do it.
And like they Jewish still people. Do it in certain parts of the U.S. They don't do it here anymore, do they?
No, very rarely.
On request. On request.
I know some people have had their kids circumcised, but it's unusual these days. What is weird when you think about it? Chopping the foreskin. Why would you do that?
I remember when I had a nose job. Years ago when I smashed...
Hello.
Here we go.
Nose job? It's your Louis C.K. moment?
You want to know why? Because my front wheel of my bike came out.
Oh, that's right.
And landed on the road.
Yes.
Smashed my nose.
Yeah, that was when you were a kid.
Yeah, 17. And then I couldn't breathe properly. Mm. And so I go, I want it fixed. And he, when I was under, he was just going to fix my septum.
Mm.
And he said, oh, while you're under, I just gave you a bit of... cosmetic.
Wow.
He chopped a couple of little bit, I'm pointing to the side of my nose here. He just made it a bit smaller and brought it in. And it made it look better.
Yeah.
But part of me was going, I want that bit back.
Yeah, they didn't ask permission.
Have you ever
all.
Felt that about your penis?
Yeah, I would. Well, apparently because we are circumcised, it's less sensitive. It's less.
Oh, yeah. The
less what sensation.
All of it? Or.
Well, no, because the tip of the skin.
Well, this bit here that I'm showing you on mine.
Yes.
Or that bit.
No,
there.
The bit that you've had chopped off.
The bit you've had chopped off.
Okay, imagine the bit that's been chopped off. It's like the top of a sleeping bag, right? That's gone, okay?
Yes, I'm looking. Yeah, gone.
Okay, so we've had the hood chopped off, right? And our heads. That hood is a very sensitive bit.
But that bit of hood would go down halfway down the stem, wouldn't it?
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right.
So the actual mushroom part, that would be the sensitive part, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I'm trying. I think you're right, though. I think actually what you're saying is correct, and I might be wrong.
But I think it's different, a little bit different for masturbation.
Yeah,
I think so. Not that I would ever know, but worth...
Well, I'm going to do it in the doorway in a minute, so...
It'd be worth chatting to someone with one to say, how does it work for you?
Yeah.
But just to me, it makes the... penis look like he's wearing a suit that's a bit too tight.
Oh, yeah.
The penis is going, you know when you're...
Struggling,
see,
when I wear a suit.
Just undo that button, that top button, you look much better, you know. Sometimes, but it depends, I guess, how much they cut off. And I wonder what they do with that bit.
Well, they just throw it out. It's like when I had a tooth removed. He goes, I can show it to you, but you can't keep it.
You can't keep it, why not?
No, because it's like you got the health reasons, they've got to dispose of that correctly. That all goes to a fire somewhere, probably.
Because it would be interesting. No, it wouldn't be, would it? Because it would be quite small on it.
Mm.
It'd be smaller than a chisel, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it'd be smaller than a chisel.
Chisel would be.
A Fruit Loop, like a Fruit Loop. Well, you reckon the doctor keeps them and puts them on a necklace?
Well, you know, there's the wall of vaginas down at. So you could have the wall of foreskins.
True. Yeah. Be a small wall.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Did your dad used to do that joke? About
four skins? No.
Oh, something about...
Four skins.
Oh, there's something about three skins, four skins.
Red skins?
Yeah, something like that.
Great lolly.
Play on words with four kids. It's always funny. Rabbis, what are they? They're like the top of the chain, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, you know, at Church of England, we had the vicar, Catholic Church of the priest. They've got the rabbi.
Yeah.
Muslims have the dude.
So every where do they go to? What's
synagogue.
Church? Synagogue would have a rabbi.
Oh, definitely.
And would he would have the beard, and he'd have the Orthodox, the whole thing.
Yep, the hat.
The hat, the whole thing.
And they tend to be a person of wisdom, don't they? They seem to have a lot of wisdom.
Yeah.
And they certainly haven't had the issues that the Catholic priest had, that's for sure. There's been not a lot of that going on.
Yeah, good for them.
Yeah, interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, interesting. They're getting votes there, I can't think of... No. Women don't get circumcised, do they?
No, they do in the third world. They do. It's horrible.
But it's not a, it's so. A very, so for men, it's
primitive practice.
Yeah. For men, it's for cleanliness.
Yeah, and for women, it's to stop the sensation.
Oh dear.
Yeah, it's awful. Yeah, it still happens in Africa and places.
But
like
it still happens cosmetically, here.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I've watched Botched.
Oh, Botched.
Yeah. Botched.
Not Bosch. My favorite cop show. You're talking Botched. Yeah, I know. I've always watched it because I saw it last night on the. Thought I should have a look at this. And I thought, oh, no.
Yeah, the two surgeons from LA who saved the world. They always go. This is the hardest operation I have ever done. I don't know whether I can do this, but do you want to go for it? I want to go for it. Let's go for it.
Oh, that's not a good way to approach surgery.
It's not.
No way.
When the doctor goes, this is really hard. I don't know whether I can do it 100%. I can get it to about 75. Are you happy with it? I'm happy with that.
I'm not happy with that.
I want you 100 if I'm paying you.
No one is called Botched.
Yeah.
It's not called successful surgery, is it?
If you get it to 75, I'll pay you 75%.
Yeah.
What you charge me. All right.
Well, let's have some thinking music.
Well,
why don't we have the well, we were talking about something, weren't we?
Crossed my mind. Hmm. We were saying that speed dating was like square dancing. Or what's the Pride of Erin or something? You know, square.
Yeah.
Whether we have, I'll throw this in, and if you've got one, I'll say I love square dancing calling. I love it.
Oh, yeah, it's good. I love it too.
Grab your partner by the hand, sing on and promenade and tuba, do and around.
Yeah, they do that in bush dancing too, the Australian version.
I love a bit of that because, as I said before, that sort of dancing is a bit like speed dating because you're changing partners.
It's true.
Yeah.
So true.
Or there's the other one, which is when Bugs Bunny was doing square dancing, and then he was doing the dancing with the two hillbillies, and then he turned into the caller and he made the two hillbillies start beating each other.
Oh, really?
They're both very funny.
Either or.
Let's just go for the straight square dancing.
Okay, straight
dancing. And if you're at home or you're walking down the street or whatever, why don't you join in Promenade 2x2 and listen in for some beautiful, not bush dance, what do you call it? Square dancing calling. Mm. Take it away.
And join your hands and circle up big, serve it to the left and you don't be late. Swing your partner high and low. Now promenade with a heel and toe. All four ladies go into the middle and back to the bar, and the gents go in with a right hand star. Now left hand back. Pass your partner, take the next right by your side. Gents swing out and the ladies in. It's once and a half and you're gone again.
This makes you feel good.
It's back in the church hall.
It's like an auctioneer. They just get a rhythm up.
Yeah, it's a skill to learn, wasn't it?
And they do listen to it, and they do go around and loop to loop and up with the hands. We can do it around and down.
They used to do a parody of it on some song. Because they used to swear in it. And go by the Irish and...
Well, there was a recent hit... I forget who it was by, and it was square dance. He called it like a square dance, but it was a rap.
Ah, okay, yeah.
Oh, what? And then he did it. Then he did a bit of boot scooting on the. Oh God, it was good song. We can't play it because we don't have the rights to do it.
All right, do you want to have a crack at rabbis and speed dating?
You go first.
Well, I reckon. I don't know. It's very hard, isn't it? Rabbis and speed dating.
It's very hard.
Well, maybe because I know Jewish community, especially the more traditional ones, like to marry within their community. They don't like to. They don't like to go outside the community. Maybe speed dating Maybe rabbis. Rabbis aren't married though, are they? I don't think they're, are they married?
Oh, well,
I don't know. Maybe the first ever speed dating was in the Jewish community. There we go.
Well, I'm going to say that maybe the rabbi would do speed confession or something.
Oh. So you get a couple of minutes each and then...
you all line up and then...
That's a Catholic thing. Only Jewish people do confession.
Then I know they don't, but I'm grasping at straws here. But anyway, it's obviously doing more than one at a time. And I'm going to say chatting with a rabbi in a speed dating style.
Okay, Sam, what is the answer?
Rabbi Lack of Dio of Beverly Hills, California, invented speed dating in 1998 when he brought along a Gregor the Jewish noisemaker Rabbi Du 12 his Gregor to signal when it was time for the single men and women present to switch partners and chat. Every 10 minutes hit signal that it was time to change places, creating what we now know as speed dating. It's since grown beyond the Jewish faith and around the world. There's a great article in the show notes that I used as a source for this episode.
Well, there you
go. The rabbi has gone. So rabbi was doing it purely in terms of dating. Mm. So he just purely made it up so people could meet really quickly in an efficient way.
What a genius.
Why didn't they call it rabbi? They should have called it something Jewish. Like Schmoike dating.
Oi, 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 dating. Schmoike dating. Schmuck dating.
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Yeah, Schmoike. Are you coming to Schmoike night on Thursday?
Mark Maron, he's also Jewish. There's a lot of Jewish comedians. That you wouldn't know were Jewish in America, but yeah, a lot of Jewish comedians.
You wouldn't know.
Oh, Seth Rogen, Jewish.
Absolutely.
Yeah. He talks about it a bit.
What do you think the number one things that, or the top three things that women look for when they meet a man?
Oh, just height?
Height? I reckon.
I'll go the three H's. Height, hair, and bank account. No, that's... I don't know.
I think it... Well, here's some of the ones.
Yeah, height,
I just Googled these on my thing. Yeah. Fresh breath, I reckon.
That's a big one.
Is a big one. As you said, what's the first thing you do when you go out? You said this on that show on too. You said that...
Family Feud. I said, you brush your teeth. And then Bert said to my brother, this is when my actual family went on Family Feud, and what, Mark? That was top of the board, brush your teeth.
Yeah.
Mark, what's the first thing you do when you go out? My brother goes, brush your teeth. I'm like... I just said that.
I bet you on the blooper show, the worldwide blooper show.
That'll be there.
Another one is skin.
Oh, nice skin.
Yeah. Meeting a man with an oily face, not appealing.
And blemishes, like my nose blemish thing. Yeah.
Oh, your nose blemish is fine. When I've got my burns, I would look quite scary.
Yeah.
My solar keratosis burns. Hair.
Hair's definitely one.
You just had a haircut. You're on track there. You're happy with it?
Yeah.
But I think...
some bald men look good. You got to say something.
You know when they look good? When they go, I'm not hiding this anymore.
I'm owning it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like your Chris Judd. I saw him in the street the other day. Very handsome.
Looks good.
Very handsome, bald man.
I mean, you're a heterosexual man.
I had a crack. No.
Yeah. Do you get a desire to touch it?
You do. I do, but I hold back.
Yeah. I've never touched a bald man's head.
Never?
No.
That's a good point. Don't think I have either.
Because... It must be, I'm envious when bald men...
Remember when Benny Hill used to pat the bald guy on the head?
I was going to say that. I'm envious when they put on suntan cream, they put on their face, then they go psh, 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 all over their head.
I worked with Kochi once and he had...
Kochi?
Kochi.
Oh, right, yeah.
From Sunrise. Yeah. We did an ad together.
Oh, really?
Football or something like that. And he had stuff he pulled out of his pocket for his bald head.
Like
he
a special, shiny...
Yeah, shiny makeup. Bald head makeup. Just for the head.
It would be wax, wouldn't it? Because the wax would make you shiny.
It was like a powdery.
Because if you put wax on and then buffed it, you get a really shiny outcome.
He had
like
special bald stuff he'd bought himself.
And the other one is teeth.
Oh, teeth's important, isn't it?
Because if you know.
I'm smiling. You don't want to date in England then. Oh, God, teeth in England.
There's something I don't understand. Why do they think that we aren't seeing their teeth?
I know. But teeth's complex too. I mean, you know, if you've got no money, sometimes you have bad teeth. You can't help it. But when you see people with a tooth missing and stuff, you're like...
And they're not wearing their plate that day or they...
Yeah, sure, they've had a knockdown issue.
Surely, it's not a... I saw some people up the supermarket the other day, and they wanted a photograph, and he only had two teeth.
Yeah.
And nice people.
Yeah,
but
I'm
was automatically a little intimidated because he didn't have any teeth.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's, you don't want to be judgmental. They're nice people.
Yeah.
You know. Don't. But if you haven't got teeth, it's a bit like, I don't know, it's like wearing a hoodie while you're driving.
Yeah.
Just a little bit intimidating.
A Chopper Reed moustache. I used to have one of them, and that used to scare people.
Really?
For sure. Oh, for sure.
What do you, I've never seen you with facial hair.
I grew a moustache for I played a butcher once. And I had a,
can you grow a beard?
You probably could, but I think it would.
I don't know whether it would suit you.
No. My partner, she's asked me to grow a beard.
She said my partner's growing.
She's grown a beard.
I visit my mum in the nursing home, and unfortunately, you do see some of the ladies who go, and that's all part of the service, which is great because when they do have a few on the chin,
they chop them off.
They chop them off. Mm. It is very tempting though when you see a long one, just to lean over and go, "I'll just get that for you," but you can't. She's 80, 85,
yeah,
90.
It's tough.
You can't be pulling on her chin, pulling the hair out of her chin.
No. Yeah, you get hair everywhere as you get older. That's the
do you problem. Look at other? I look at some guys' faces sometimes, and I go, "You really need your nostrils done.
Oh,
you really
need
your ears done."
But to be fair, sometimes I look in the mirror, I can't see the nostrils
because you haven't got your glasses.
Yes,
on.
Yes, I've got my glasses on.
Yeah, I have got the ultimate nose. Should I talk about this?
Yeah, have you got the trimmer?
I've got. There's two types of trimmer. There's one with the straight head. Mm-hmm. Then there's one like a wandered head, like that. Like on
and that's
angle.
Good.
Oh, it's great. It makes a satisfying noise, and you can do everything. Mm. Not everything.
It doesn't do everything.
But if you wanted to do everything, it would be applicable.
Well, I should get one.
Well, you get next time you're masturbating in the doorway.
Well, I'm going to do it right now if you want to hang around.